2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning, KSL News Time 7:30.
It is 71 degrees.
Traffic's starting to return to normal now that they've got traffic open on 5400 South. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
We do have breaking news on KSL in Kearns, where police are investigating a deadly officer-involved shooting.
KSL News Radio's John Wojcik is live on the scene near 54th South and 56th West with the very latest. John?
Yeah, Amanda, we just got an update from Unified Police Sheriff Rosie Rivera about this officer-involved shooting investigation in Kearns. She says at around quarter after 5 this morning, an officer checked in with a man approximately 30 years old who was walking around the area of 54th South and 54th West. According to her, that's not abnormal behavior from the cop.
If individuals are walking in the neighborhood, we ask them to do proactive patrols.
The man eventually took off running and the officer followed. Later, the suspect brandished a gun and then pointed it at the cop, who then shot the man, who later died on scene. Unified Police says the scene has already been turned over to an investigative unit. No details are available yet about the man's identity or if he had any sort of a criminal history. Live, John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
Hundreds of protesters show up at the Cottonwood City Building in reaction to protest on Sunday. Police say protesters turned violent, but protesters claim officers became violent first. John Hammond lives in the area.
We found wrenches in the middle of the street. We found all kinds of stuff that you would use to throw. And so I thought the police did a great job. I was so glad that they were there.
About 300 members of an armed militia also showed up. They say they were there to de-escalate the situation and deter any violence.
The man who owns the Idaho property where the remains of two missing children were found is expected to be in court for a second day. KSL-TV's Garna Mejia reports prosecutors revealed some things during the first day of Chad Daybell's preliminary hearing.
Prosecutors dropped two bombshells. The first November body cam video of detectives the day they knocked on Lori Vallow's townhouse to conduct a welfare check for JJ.
Garner reports in that body cam video, Lori Vallow Daybell told officers her former sister-in-law wanted to take her son JJ away from her.
Then came the second bombshell. Melanie Gibb took the stand, and prosecutors played a phone call she had with Chad and Lori in early December.
In that phone call, Chad Daybell denied having anything to do with his ex-wife's death.
It may not be a hurricane anymore, but it's still plenty of trouble. KSL's top national stories. Back to Sean Michael Lyle live at the KSL National News Desk.
That's right, Tim. One person is dead in North Carolina, blamed on Isaias after the hurricane made landfall overnight. Governor Roy Cooper.
We've had a number of tornadoes. Not sure of the count yet.
It's a powerful tropical storm now heading up the East Coast towards Washington, Philadelphia, and New York. Pennsylvania reported no COVID deaths yesterday for the first time since March. However, this comes as fatalities nationwide have increased 24% from the week before. The Miami Marlins are back in action tonight, playing for the first time since over a dozen players tested positive for coronavirus. Team CEO Derek Jeter blames a false sense of security.
I'm disappointed at the fact of how quickly it spread throughout our team.
They're set to play in Baltimore, but Isaias may prevent that. Coronavirus coverage every 30 minutes on KSL News Radio. And about a dozen people were hospitalized after three hot air balloons crashed near Teton Village, Wyoming, yesterday.
Hot air balloon just crashed. Oh my gosh.
20 people were on those balloons. It's believed windy weather caused that accident. Live at the KSL National News Desk, Sean Michael Lyle, KSL News Radio.
The Sundance Film Festival is cutting back days and capacity in January because of the coronavirus pandemic. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards is live with more. Mary?
Amanda, organizers say they'll shorten the length of next year's festival from 11 days down to 7. They'll also shift forward a week to start on January 28th. Now, we've also reported on the idea of using other screening locations or events around the country. Right now, City Hall has a requirement that Sundance schedule 70% of their events in Park City or Summit County. The Park Record says the City Council is expected to suspend that requirement. There is a council meeting this evening. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.